This is Ayla Podcast.
Hello and welcome to This is Ayla. This is Gemma McLean.
And this is Julian Thurgood.
Welcome, Joe. So what's the breaking news?
Well, it's the beginning of March and I feel that spring is almost here. We had a wild, wintry, windy February, even a short-lived blizzard. But in the past few days, the first blooms of colour in the garden are on the way. Crocus out, and daffodils not far behind, even while the snowdrops had just passed their peak in Bridgend Woods. How have you been since last time, Gemma?
Yeah, very good, thanks, Joe. Just out walking my dogs and enjoying the sunshine that's made an appearance this week.
Well, I do feel that spring is on its way. Lambing's not far off, and the days are definitely getting warmer.
There's a life skid on Dura just now. It's quite quiet over here at the moment, but everyone's just plodding away, doing what they can, getting the garden ready.
And not too many tourists getting in the way yet.
No, not yet. No, quiet on that front for now.
And I hear that you've been busy in the kitchen.
I have, yes.
I understand that together with Catherine Urquhart, you led an impressive batch of island bakers for a one-day-only event in Beaumont.
We did, yes. So we hosted a drive-through cake sale at the high school in Beaumont.
And how much did you raise?
Just over £2,600, just in one afternoon. So the money that we raised is being split between the Isla RNLI and the Scottish Air Ambulance Charity.
Well, those are two really worthy causes.
They are, yes. They're very important charities that support island life. So it was nice to be able to do something helpful for them.
Exactly.
Okay, so now back to the podcast. Coming up in this episode,
we hear from Lara Mackay about news with the MacTaggart Youth Community Cyber Cafe, The Cyber.
We have a really special conversation between Lynn MacDonald and Kenneth Thompson about their collaboration on the Oireann Eilleadh, the Gaelic songbook project that was published in 2017.
And accompanying that conversation, we have two musical treats.
One from the Isla Gaelic Choir and the other from the late Donald MacLeod of Portnahaven. And later on, we have this month's factoid, which I promise is not about trig points.
Well, that's a shame. But first, here is Glenn Roberts with Lara Mackay at the Cyber.
I'm here with Lara Mackay on a sunny day, and it is nice to see a blue sky. Lara, who is the manager of the MacTaggart Community Cyber Cafe in Port Ellen.
Hello there, Glenn. How are you today?
I'm excellent.
I'm Lara Mackay. I am the manager over at the Cyber. We're known as the MacTaggart Community Cyber Cafe, but everyone in the community and beyond knows it just as the Cyber. We're going to be having a bit of a name change kind of in the near future, but I think everyone will just refer to it as the Cyber. With me today, I've got two members of our youth forum. They're quite active members, two young ladies that we've got here today. We've got Mara McGilvery and we have Orla Campbell.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
We took over. Now, Mid Argyll, it's really important to mention them here, Mid Argyll Youth Development Services. So they became involved with the Cyber in September of 2019. And then I came on board. Fiona Kalachi started off the process of working along with the Cyber and working in partnership with them. They're a leading youth organisation in Mid Argyll. She has just this time last year, she got her MBE from the Queen. So we were really, really pleased to be working with them and working in partnership with them. So I came on board on January 2020. God, it seems like a long time away now. January 2020, I became manager and then started to build up a team of youth workers around me. And we really have worked so hard this year ourselves, our team of staff, and the young people. We've worked so hard to really fill the place up and really interact with everybody. Inclusivity is just everything, and is just at the heart of everything that we're doing at the moment and beyond. We've been working really hard behind the scenes to get to know everybody in the community and get to know their needs and make sure that we're adapting our services to encourage everybody to come down, to use our facilities, to take part in clubs, and to see if there's any way that we can help them with their personal development, We've got loads and loads of things as part of our first programme. The first programme that we published was the winter programme. So we've got loads and loads of activities that people can just walk in and do. But we've got other things that are really good for young people to think about their futures, to think about employability and connection with MAIDS. We're continuing that really valuable partnership. Partnership working needs to be part of everything that we do. So kind of good relations and partnerships with organisations that are similar to ourselves is really, really important. So we've built up a really good and productive partnership with the MacTaggart Leisure Centre. So we've worked with them on the Supporting Young Women and Girls project, and that has entailed the setup of our sustainable fashion workshop. So that's been really, really useful in terms of, I mean, there's some young men involved in it as well, but we've changed what used to be a charity shop, Castaways. We've completely transformed that into a fashion hub that resulted in a fashion show in, when was that, September?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So September of last year, we started to work towards a massive fashion show. And then a few months later, we filmed it. So that was really, really good fun. And the girls were styling all their outfits. And everyone had there was a choreographer. There was, of course, models. There was makeup staff. The girls were so kind of slick at putting that together. So yeah, that's something that we're going to work towards. Thinking about how we're going to expand that whole shop space. And we've got some ideas, haven't we, girls, about selling different stuff.
Okay, so for the fashion room, we're trying to like sort things out currently. And because there's so many clothes, we're all picking things that we like and what we don't want to keep in there. And for selling the clothes and stuff like that, we're going to basically either keep the clothes as they are and just sell them, or maybe change them up a bit. And then for a specific person's item that they've changed or decided to sell, they make money off of it.
And we'll be adding on the touches to different clothes. Like if we had a skirt, we could even turn it into shorts or anything we'd like. We could turn a dress into a shirt. We can do whatever we like. We can even get older clothes, turn them into something new, add more onto them and have them as our own recreation and our own wee pile to sell off to the community. It's shaping up to be quite a wee business model that we've been mulling over. Can I have in the lockdown? We can still do some youth work. You know, youth work has been really fortunate that we are allowed to deal with young people who otherwise would be vulnerable if we didn't connect with them or that wouldn't benefit from some youth work. So the fashion team has really kind of used this time to cook up this, how you would say, like a business model. So we're working on each young person actually being employed by the shop and making a cut of whatever they sell. So we'll have a proportion of that going into the, you know, the things that come in that people donate that are sold right away as is. We're really, really grateful for all the stuff that they have donated, and some of that is saleable right away. But like Mara was saying, if they're going to be customising things, we could have, the young people have all got very, very kind of well-developed tastes mm-hmm. when it comes to fashion. So for them maybe to curate a collection, or for them to customise different things, or to work on them according to their skill level as well, a cut of that would go down directly to them. So they would be making money from that business as well, which helps us. But we could do retail qualifications mm-hmm. with them through SQA. We could, it's very, very good for personal development, for increasing confidence, for just getting them more interactive in the community. Because I think a clothes boutique is really what Port Ellen's missing, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the girls come down here on a Saturday, it's like they're going down to their local high street. We've got good imaginations. But I don't know, girls, what do you think about some of the quality of some of the clothes? It's quite a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's been your best find?
I think for me personally, I think my best find was these jeans that I just found like lying around. And surprisingly, I actually wear them quite a lot because I've never been able to kind of wear jeans because I never, yeah, but these ones, they were like, I don't know, they were different, but in a good way, and they fit perfectly.
Good. That was a find.
I found this really nice yellow crop top shirt. Mm-hmm. I've never really been into anything like that, but when I tried it on, I felt really confident in it, and I've never felt that way in clothes before. And I actually really enjoyed wearing it, and I still have it and everything. But I don't know, there's something about it that dragged me to it, even though never before I would have bought anything like that. And just all the clothes in there is amazing, and I love even like the old-fashioned stuff they bring in, and you can do so much with it all.
Yes. It's
really exciting to work with.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of really quite interesting fabrics as well. Mm-hmm. So even if we're not actually wearing them and wear it as is, the girls have got great imaginations, so they're kind of like, we're going to transform this into something completely different. So there's a lot of kind of like older fabrics that come in that are really interesting to work with. And of course, we do up the mannequins, and we kind of like have the shop really nicely presented as well, which is great fun. But yeah, I think it's a good business opportunity and probably good for the community.
It sounds, the fashion collection sounds fantastic. And as you say, it gives the younger generation experience. Is there other things that you're involved in? I know when we last spoke, we mentioned, for example, a drop-in support, CV writing and job finding and work experience.
Yes, definitely. That's a huge direction that we're going in. I think there's never been a greater need for young people, but a lot of people in the community that have their employment has become compromised in some kind of way by the pandemic. So that this is a need that we were, my background is in employability coaching and in college lecturing. And we've got a really robust team around us who all have backgrounds in employability or adult learning and community learning, things like that. So that it's a real passion of ours to be involved in that kind of thing. But there's never ever been a bigger need for it, Glenn. So this is something that we feel really strongly about, and something that funding wise, that you know, there are funds out there that are looking for every organisation to be involved in employability in some kind of way, even if that means taking on young people as staff, potentially under Community Jobs Scotland, who subsidise wages, or through the working right contract. Now, the AILA part of the working right contract has been awarded to MAID, our partners. So we are working alongside them to support them in delivering that working right contract. But around that, we have our own employability, I don't know what you'd call it, like a workshop that's funded by a lot of different organisations and matched funded by the MacTaggart Leisure Centre. So we are kind of really, really kind of going into this in a big way to cover all ages and all people from all walks of life. So that was something that did start with school leavers, but we've grown it to incorporate people in the community and beyond. By saying the community, I mean the whole of Islay is basically who we're dealing with. That's an important change to mention, that Cyber Cafe used to be Port Ellen based, and we very much are Port Ellen based. We're sat here in Port Ellen, but we are working across the island to kind of interact with people, make the place inclusive to them, engage with them, find different ways to engage with them, and to get people in the door and ready for work. This was the biggest thing that we came across and what grew our project. The project is going to be called Inspiring Young Eloks. So we have got a few different directions that they can go in. We've got the work, we can put them straight onto the working rights scheme. We can employ them ourselves. We can put them into various voluntary work. We've got lots of employability partnerships all across Islay with various businesses. And we keep in contact with them regularly to train them so that they're prepared to take on a young person. I think that's important to mention, that not all businesses are equipped to deal with a very young school leaver who's just coming straight in. So we realised that there was a bit of work to do in the gap, as it were, to get people ready for employment, to introduce. routines into their lives, to increase self-confidence, to help them do CVs, to allow them different bits and bobs of training that perhaps was maybe a barrier to them getting employment. But our main concern at the minute is getting people enrolled and getting people into our project, and first of all sitting down with them, kind of realising what their needs are, and then seeing how we can meet it. If that means an extra bit of maybe adult literacies work, maybe some educational stuff. We're also liaising with schools. We've got a referral system that has been well used by schools and social work to refer young people directly to us, which is absolutely fantastic to be in that position of trust, to be able to share information with the schools, and to create a learning and development environment for young people with challenges who perhaps didn't really know what their destination would be after leaving school. So we're kind of creating a bit of a safe place for people to come and receive a bit more development and a bit more encouragement to go into the next path in their lives. Traditionally, the authorities have had support from charities, and they couldn't do without charity support. So schools have really welcomed us with open arms because they have a regulated charity that they can really rely on, which is really good for us. It's a real privilege to be able to work alongside them to deliver the best level of support to young people. And other things that we do, I mean, we've got projects going with the young carers. We look after vulnerable families. We have got a number of projects other than the sustainable fashion and supporting young women and girls project. We also have the Inspiring Young ELOGS project. But apart from all these kind of heavily funded areas, we just have lots of fun. I think your bruises are just about faded now, girls, have they? Yep. From the roller skating, we'll get to pros here. But we got some funding from Argyll and Bute Council to fund, very generally, weekend activities. So we could have used that for tuck, for snacks, for, you know, maybe subsidising wages for a couple of youth workers and do whatever. But we went out and spent all of it on roller skates. So we have roller skates of every size and description, and everyone just started roller skating, including staff. So that's something that has been, we managed to do it for about 5 months in between both lockdowns. And we still come in and have maybe in twos or threes, we have like a little skate and then kind of put them back again. But that was something that was really great for filling the place up just when people needed it the most. So it's been a new kind of phase in Islay now, and all the parents are queuing up. We've got Rhea, who's part of our team. It's important to mention her. She is a professional roller skater, we can call her. Mm-hmm. I think she'd be happy about that.
She's really good.
And she teaches technique, which is great. And it means that we're all doing it properly, or we should be. We're completely covered for that. We're fully equipped and fully safe to be doing that. So we have roller discos on a Sunday. We have a movie day on a Sunday. We've got gaming clubs. We've got Saturday night youth club. We've got Friday night kids club.
There's those days where like the youth forum comes in and we just sit and talk about things and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we've got youth forum night. So we're desperate to start up the kids club again because it was really good. We had an ESN section to that as well, where kids who had additional and special needs were brought in on a Thursday to have a bit of a mini club. And if they felt ready to go into the bigger club, then they could. So we infill people that may have some issues, maybe some anxiety, or this is quite a big, intimidating space. So we've got lots of smaller groups that are made to then infill into the bigger groups, which is great for making it inclusive to all, which is something that I will always keep coming back to. I think youth clubs traditionally have been well-meaning, but to really include everybody, you need to be, you need to think about their needs and think about what you can put on that is going to be more sympathetic to a young person's needs and a young person's kind of, how do I say it, like their little quirks, there's some days that they want to do one thing and other days that they won't want to do it. And even we found with some of the autistic kids, even altering the lighting and changing the sounds and changing kind of very, very subtle changes about them. So we've got a bigger committee. We had an AGM this week. We have got 5 new members of the committee, and we now have a police officer, we've got local business people, we have got a couple of educational professionals, we've got a representative from the NHS, we've got a really robust and hardworking committee, which is really, really good as well. We've got their support, so they can come and roller skate anytime they like. We recently received quite generous funding from the Isla Resilience Fund to take part in outreach work. Now, we have planned, we've got transport from a local business and we're looking to buy our own vehicle as well. But we are going to work, we're going to send youth workers all over the island. We've done quite a bit of extensive research on that and to see where the needs are. We already work island-wide when it comes to one-to-one support for families and young children across Isla. So it is very much on a one-to-one and referred basis. So if we're referred by a school or by a social worker or by a family member or people can self-refer, we immediately, so we are working in the Rins, we're working in Beaumont, and we're working very firmly in Port Ellen. And that's something that we do on a one-to-one basis. Part of our growth will entail doing some of those larger sessions in different parts of the island. We've got quite a big collective of young people who used to come to Port Ellen from Port Charlotte, and we did have some transport in place for them, but they can't come down now because they're so far away and they're kind of in a completely different part of the island. So you can understand why parents wouldn't necessarily, you know, really want that to happen in the circumstances that we live in. So we've got a huge collective of young people who are down there who really would love to be doing more stuff with us. So we need to go down there and deliver it to them where they are. As part of really meaningful youth work that we're already being funded for, the Isla Resilience Fund was tip of the iceberg, really. So we've got funding in place to let us work all over the island. We've secured premises in 4 different locations for us to deliver youth work and to put on trips as well. And it's important to add here as well that we've already got funding in place for some outdoor activities. So we've got some funded training for 2 youth workers to be doing bushcraft training with Isla Natural History Trust. So they have funded 2 places. We have been waiting to do that training for quite a while, but as with everything, it's a case of just whenever we're allowed. So we're really excited about that. And we have our policeman on board, who I don't think I'm giving you any spoilers here, but he has recorded some fitness videos for us. So we're part of a Take 5 challenge that's led by Acumen in Argyll and Bute. So to coincide with that, we are releasing videos of our committee member taking part in some physical challenges, which young people can then emulate and then do their own version of them and then potentially post them on social media or send them back to us and be part of a more active island, really. As well as that, we have an outdoor boot camp ready to go. So yeah, so that's part of the employability project to give young people a kind of all-round sense of well-being. We can't just be doing CVs with them. We need to be getting them outdoors and get them active, you know, concentrate on their, but yeah, I'm sure that I've left some stuff out, but that kind of everything that we are excited about at the minute.
On listening to what you're saying to us, you seem to have your work cut out with you and your team, but it's good to hear what you are planning for the future.
Definitely. We're waiting, but there's lots of things we can do. And that's what people forget as well. You know, I think the youth work sector can operate to some level. And sometimes that's good because we can get to know young people better on a one-to-one or small group basis. It's more work for us because we're kind of duplicating groups and copying them and things like that. We're kind of multiplying groups just to kind of get the numbers in properly to reach everyone. And not have them be in massive groups. We're doing lots of that, but I think it's a chance to really properly get to know people when they're potentially at their most vulnerable. So the drop-in sessions have been really interesting and really needed, I would say, in the area. And we also, the schools carry invitations that they've been handing out to people who they feel might need a bit of extra support. Between ourselves and Midargyle Youth Development Services, we have got an all-round level of expertise in this area that I think is unmatched. We have an ESN teacher within our team who's very, very valuable when it comes to recognising needs in children and young people. And she, Claire King, her name is, I should mention her name, but she has been absolutely pivotal. So, yeah, I think that would be our selling point, is the fact that we spent a long time building up trustful relationships and building up a level of experience. I think that's where our talent lies, really. I think that's where our future lies.
Where is this information being fed to the community? Do you have a website? Are you on social media?
We're very heavily on social media. We're on Instagram and we're on Facebook. As I was saying, the referral system is really, really busy. And the schools, we like to rely on agencies that are already having contact with young people because they know them and they know what they need.
On listening to the three of you, there is more happening and it's fantastic. From us, thank you, ladies, very much. And what exciting news and what exciting things are happening on Isla. And we are very grateful to get to know the three of you and to get to know what you and the team are doing. Excellent.
Thank you very much, Glenn. It's been really interesting. It kind of forces you to put everything together like this, and we've really enjoyed this as well. I think, you know, our ethos is good, strong relationships, partnerships, and inclusion is just everything. So we shall get together soon.
Excellent.
It's good to know all these things are available to the young people across the island.
I was really surprised to hear how many different activities they have going.
And we hope to collaborate on a future podcast episode, so stay tuned for that.
Next, we're really happy to welcome two special guests.
And here we have the Isla Gaelic Choir.
Alban Kai from Cosa Gaelic Ila, the Isla Gaelic Choir, and was part of a suite of songs about the Battle of Trai Grunier that appear in Oran Ilach, the Isla Gaelic songbook. The songbook grew out of a number of projects that we did in the Gaelic community in Isla over a period of years, and it was published in 2017 after we had identified a gap that we didn't have a book of Isla Gaelic songs that people could access and use. And these songs are very precious in a community. They really give a history of a place and a flavour of a place. And of course, our Gaelic language is very important to us here as well. So here I'm in conversation with Kenneth Thompson. My name's Lynn McDonald, and I published the book along with Kenneth. I live in Isla in Portnahaven, and I've worked at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland for a long time. And over the last decade, I've also worked with Comhna Gaelic in Isla on various Gaelic projects. A lot of the time working with young people, encouraging them to learn and use Gaelic language and culture. And Kenneth Thompson worked with me on the research and collecting some of the songs. And he's very well known in Gaelic song circles, of course, as a long-standing conductor of the Glasgow Gaelic Musical Association, usually known as the GG. And he has also worked a lot with the Isla Gaelic Choir, Cosha Gaelic Ila. He's a great friend of the choir and has, we have commissioned many choral arrangements of Gaelic songs with Kenneth. And he also works closely with the MOD, and he's an adjudicator at the MOD and a MOD Gold Medalist in his own right. I think we can also count him as an honorary Éilleacht, and he has a home in Portnahaven, and we are really looking forward to welcoming him back here when it's safe to do so.
Hi, Kenneth. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Lynn. Just missing being in Isla.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm on Isla, of course, and have been for quite some months without getting off Isla at all. Yeah. That's really not too bad at all, apart from the storm interludes where we have to stay in a bit more. And I suppose we're just, it's given us time to sort of reflect a lot of things, not least Oireann Éilleacht songbook that we published in 2017, actually.
Yes.
So it's been around for a wee while now, and it's a lot of people have got copies for a niche kind of publication. It's done very well, and I think it's opened up Éilleacht songs to a much wider audience. And of course, because I went for a publisher who had international distribution, I know there's people from abroad have been able to access the book as well. So
apart from the fact that it's got all the songs, it's a beautifully produced book with the illustrations and the photographs and the very careful translations.
Yeah. I mean, we were quite fussy, and I worked quite closely with Acher on the way the book was going to look, and I wanted it to be a beautiful book, even apart from the poetry and the songs contained in it.
Yeah.
And I also wanted it to be a usable book. So we've got the spiral bound, but we've got a cover over the top of it, and of course we've got the original photographs that were commissioned. So it's a beautifully illustrated book, and it has the original photographs by Raymond Lafferty, who's a local artist and photographer that we'd worked on projects, Róa Bardach Ila and the Bards project and performance leading up to the publication of the book. And Raymond had spent a long time going out into the landscape and finding very special views of Isla.
Yes.
And I think it gives a very, very distinctive and beautiful look to the book, and really sets off the songs very well. The designer at Acher also did a wonderful job in collating all the material and the photographs and putting it all together in a way that, you know, feels and looks very organic.
Yeah.
So
remind us just how it actually kicked off.
Well, it kicked off in 2015, and we really wanted to gather songs that were meaningful to the community. And so we had what we called the Big Isla Gaelic Song Weekend, and we decided to have it at the two ends of the island. So we had one event on the Saturday planned for the Rins Hall in Porthaven, which of course is the site of many a wonderful ceilidh over the years, and still is and will be. And also our friends at Ardbeg Distillery, who gave us their visitor centre on the Sunday for an event over there as well. So we invited local Gaelic singers and also, of course, Og Gaelic Ila, the junior Isla Gaelic choir, to these events to sing. But of course, there was a wee hiccup on the Saturday, well, actually on the Sunday as well, as a result of the Saturday, because it was yourself as chief scribe on the book who was invited to be the ferentaire on these 2 days, and down there setting up the Rins Hall on Saturday morning. I could hear the plane that was bringing you into Isla circling round and round, round and round, and
back to Glasgow. There had been a heavy fall of snow in Glasgow, so we were kind of late in taking it off. And then there was a light fall of snow at Isla Airport, and it was enough that we weren't able to land.
Yeah.
And my little granddaughter said, "Well, at least you got a ride in a plane, Grandpa." So when that was taking place, I was back in Glasgow.
You were back in Glasgow. So we had to substitute your presence with somebody else who happened to be Fergus Muir, who did a great job on the 2 days. But we did miss you that weekend. So that was the start of it. That was the start of it all. And from there on, we started to do some schools workshops on top of gathering in the material locally. And we wanted the local children to feel some kind of connection to the songs and learn about the songs as we went along. And we went into local schools and did some workshops learning the songs and all about the background of the songs and the tunes. And the children did lots of wonderful artwork. And we had an exhibition of that artwork at Local Mods that year. So two of those illustrations are in the inside covers of the books as well, and they're very wonderful collages that have been made at Keel's School. Some of the gathering of the material was done from existing publications, but also some of the material were older songs which weren't in print anywhere, which you gathered yourself.
Yes, I mean, there were, I think that was the fascinating thing about the project, was you could find all the Duncan Johnson books in Cronin Town. There were quite a lot had been published by, I think, Bailey and Ferguson over the years. But we were searching for some of the others. And for example, there's one called Turug, lament, page 34 of the book, which it was pointed in my direction by Mary Drauber from Port Williams. And she said her father had sung it. So we found it in Topan Dulchish. Uh-huh. And so I was able to typeset it from that singing. And in fact, it was actually prescribed as the men's or and more at the Maud, I think the year after the book was published.
Yeah, so it'd be 2018.
So it was 2018.
Yeah.
And it's such a poignant song for two brothers who are drowned in Islay. It's almost heartbreakingly poignant to read.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, there's a song called Gruach of Poshna Hevenu, which was in the, it's a McNiven one, isn't it? And it was in a book, just the words. And I was looking to find a tune for it. So I went over to my, yes, it's a Duncan McNiven. And I went over to my friend Anne McLean in Campbell Place in front of him. I said, do you know the tune for this? So she just sang it. So I was able to transcribe it that way. And there were quite a few like that. We were able to listen to recording. There was Vermiclude Daniel and Vore, which is a song I particularly like. And I had only heard the late Donald MacLeod sing it. So we had his CD, was able to get it from that. And that was written by Eamon Black, who was, I think, a lighthouse keeper on the Big Island.
Yeah, I think he was the son of the lighthouse keeper.
He's kind of son of the lighthouse keeper.
I'm not sure if he continued to be the lighthouse keeper but he had a strong connection with the lighthouse.
Yes. So that was one I particularly liked. And in fact, I did a choral arrangement of it for Cosheneva, didn't I?
Yes, yep. And the Cosha Gaelic Ila, Ila Gaelic Choir has been so sort of central really to a lot of these projects, and particularly to the songbook, because we've sung so many of those songs.
Yes.
Many of them that you've arranged for us. And the Vermiclue is a song that is very close to the people of the Rins' hearts. And I know that Betsy West was very keen on that song as well.
Yes.
And we're so lucky to have people who know these songs and remember these songs.
Mm.
And I suppose what we really wanted to do in the book was to preserve these songs for the future, and to maybe have them available to people in a format that was accessible, and that young people coming up could use. And certainly, as soon as the book was published, you know, for all the events, local mods, recordings, all sorts of things, you know, that I had. I worked with Comhain na Gaelic. I'm based in Islay High School normally. And I had young people turning up at the door frequently asking if they could use the songbook and see the songs and what would I advise for them to sing. And it really, really stimulates their interest in their cultural heritage and in using Gaelic in other contexts. And we've used musical backgrounds and soundtracks for projects like the Film G project that we've done with young people here. So these projects really seep out into the schools and into the community, and really inspire other sorts of work in Gaelic.
Yeah, yes. Just another song that comes to mind. I was driving to Islay. I had on Morag's program in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I heard this song, A Vichan Toshi Kenotum. And I had never heard it before, and I thought, let me just see if I can find out anything about it. And I managed to get it on a School of Scottish Studies CD. And it is said to been written by a woman of the name of Johnson from Port Charlotte in about 1780.
A very old song.
Very old song.
Yeah. It's a great song, though. I love that song. Interestingly, we didn't uncover too many songs that were attributed to women. So whether that means the women didn't write them or whether they were attributed to men, I don't know, but it would be very nice to do a wee bit more research and find some other songs written by women, because there must have been, for example, working songs written by women in Islay.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we were talking about while editing the book during that process was the fact that we didn't have a lot of any drinking songs in the book, and there must be drinking songs as well, Isla. So there's there's so many more songs, and in fact, as soon as it went to print, there was actually some people came forward with songs at that point. So there's other songs that we already have, but I'm sure there's many more out there in the community that can be used and sung in the future.
One song I was very sorry we didn't manage to unearth was Orna Doskic. There's a line, Johnny Yippie, like bottle and skach pocket.
Yeah.
And it was about the ship going aground and almost a kind of whiskey galore kind of scenario.
Yes.
And I would love to have had that, but we just couldn't find it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see the different formats. We could present some more of the songs in. And, of course, when a book is published, it gives opportunities for us to share the songs, and of course we had the lovely event at Islay House to launch the book with the Islay choirs there singing the songs, and a lovely reception afterwards. And we also had an event at the book festival where Raymond Lafferty, the photographer, and I made a film with recordings that we made of local singers singing some of the songs as the soundtrack. And we had a lot of aerial and drone photography and time-lapse photography of the appropriate locations in Islay, which was lovely to do. We got a brilliant turnout for that. It's been very, very popular. It seems to have inspired a lot of interest in people. And also a big event that we had in Glasgow at the Royal Concert Hall, which you were at as well. And we had the Glasgow choir, the Glasgow Islay choir there, and your own choir, the GG, the Glasgow Gaelic Musical Association as well. And of course we had solo singers there, and we had a lot of chat and discussion at that event as well. So it has spawned a lot of other events and interest, and we'd hope it continues to do so.
I think that one person who deserves a big mention in this is Margaret McKeever, who did a meticulous editing and translation of the songs. Because a lot of them are written in a kind of older form of Gaelic, which hasn't been gawked. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so she kind of brought them up to date, and I did a very meticulous translation.
Her knowledge of the Gaelic language, I was just so impressed. And she was so careful and of local dialect.
Yes,
and words, and so keen to respect that while we I suppose you could call it standardising the Gaelic. And it was a very important part of the publication. It was a difficult job to do. And I had many hours on the phone with Margaret, and although it was a very serious job, you know, we also had a great time actually going over all the words in the Gaelic and all the stories associated with the songs and Isla. And of course, you know, she has a great interest in Gaelic culture, but also in island communities. You know, she's from the Isle of Lewis herself, but she's a big, big interest in Isla. She came here for the book launch, and I took her around all the sites that we'd been talking about in the phone calls. And you know, it was such a wonderful kind of rich exercise.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Kenneth. I really enjoyed that conversation, and it was great reminiscing about the journey to make Oireann Ealach. And we're going to listen to Donal Hendy, the late Don MacLeod, now singing the song we were talking about earlier in the conversation. And it's a song very close to the hearts of people in the Rins, particularly in Port Haven and Port Weems. And it's written by a local man, son of the lighthouse keeper, Eamon Black. And it's called Ver Mi Clu Don Yelan Vor.
Ver Mi Clu Don Yelan Vor En Shelan Ekrian Nach Gorm En Yor En Shelan Eres Nach Kinyg Fyrych I am the rest for her. O Kurpoya Hai Fas, and Dura Maikia Harika Hach, Ik Moinchir Glasse Hokondal, Egabal Kurch Tonach. Creken Crianach Creken Loam En Coretun An Tocal Faun Is Aun A Yofche A Vesche Gaun A Plupper Chaun Sna Coolchen Ni Shafog Hornet O Laun Ihi puri fiecach glawn I swyn siarnial chafi iawn Ys bichen chi ysgyr hefys Siemach cyning a hwc ymbad Hwra un che fieg y biar Ach o gagwylf caro art Er son fi gywl yn ffasengers Ses yn di aleng y faic yn stiwr Gwpn y myl er ton yn dŵn Snwyr chai ei chi a faic yn mahwl A chwrs y chapol erga Cyn i wŵl yn yr yndrau Cyn i fferr ar loch na dal Snw'r higmach corynol ar sal Fferr yndrau y behelys Ver mi clwt o'n ielain y fôr Yn sielain y grian a'ch gorym yn ior Yn sielain ers na'ch cynnyg y ffyrwch A e'n drast o chyrych
The Oireann Ealach Songbook is available at Roy's and Beaumont from independent bookshops everywhere, as well as Waterstones and online retailers. And now it's time for this month's factoid.
So this month, Lynn and Kenneth gave us their inspiration for this month's interesting fact. We just heard the voice of the late Donald MacLeod, winner of the men's gold medal at the National Mod in Rothesay in 1952. He is one of 17 men and women from Isla who have won the gold medal at the National Mod. Most recently, I believe, was Alistair Cuddy. But here is the factoid. Did you know that once you have won the gold medal, that is it? It's just a once-in-a-lifetime award. So there are no double gold medalists.
Many singers return to the Mod again and again if they're unsuccessful. But Donald MacLeod, just a young lad at the time, was successful on his very first try in 1952.
It's a really special treat to hear the music.
Both the Isle of Gaelic Choir and Donald MacLeod's music has been released on recent CDs, and we'll post more information on availability online.
But for now, that's all we have time for. So just before we go, a quick reminder that we're looking for your Isla and Jura stories or questions to be featured in future podcasts. You can email them to thisisila@gmail.com.
You can always follow us on social media, Facebook at This Is Isla, Twitter at This Is Isla, Instagram at This Is Isla Podcast.
Thank you very much for listening, and remember to hit the like button and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
And thanks for hosting again this month, Gemma.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm Sharon McHaddy. You've been listening to This Is Isla, the people, places, events and connections of Isla and Jura. And we invite you to join us again next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of This Is Isla Podcast. Our theme song is £50 Cashback by Fraser Shaw.